said, I've never preached on this before, but I feel like we need it, and I really hope that you'll get this message tonight. It's not going to be as maybe as loud and dynamic as what you know you'd like it tonight, but you ought to do this once in a while, and it's good for us, and I believe we're at a good place where we need it, and it's good for me, good for you. Every Christian should understand what I'm getting ready to say. The verse of Scripture here in Galatians sit real good if we just get it through our head. And it's chapter 6, verse 3. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. That's our verse for tonight. Galatians 6, 3. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now, buddy, if there's ever a verse that Christianity today ignores, that's a verse, isn't it? If a man thinks he's something, he deceives himself, because he's nothing. Now, I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, we are nothing. I'm nothing, you're nothing. I said nothing. And I don't mean a little bit. I mean nothing. We're nothing. If God ever does anything with us, it ain't because we're something. It's because we can realize that we're nothing. This thing's taught all the way through the Word of God. If you want God to use you, you have to realize that you are nothing. That don't go over too good in this generation. This generation is, be all that you can be. Believe in yourself. You can do it. That's totally opposite from Bible theology. In the Bible, you are nothing. As the cartoon I've got, Brother Ryman used to mention, it's the little cartoon, I don't remember what it was, but the guy went around and he said, you're nothing, you're nothing, you're nothing but a nothing. You're nothing, you're nothing, you're nothing but a nothing. That's what we are. That's what we are. We're nothing. We are a big zero. This verse become real to you? Do you believe this verse? Our pride blinds us to the truth of this verse of Scripture. We, be honest, don't most of the time we really think that we're little, you know, we're, well, I'm this and I'm that, and I can do this and I can do that. That gets in the way of God using us. And I know it's a constant battle when God bless you. You want, maybe you're a preacher, you're a singer, or whatever. When you're in the forefront, the Lord's back here, and all people see is you. And then, somehow or another, you start giving Him the glory, and He is in the forefront, and you're back here, and that's when everybody shouts and praises God. It's when the preacher and the singers kind of fade out, and the Lord gets in. Then when that happens, we get so happy, glory to God, we think we done something, and then we're back out here in the front, and the Lord's back again, and then it gets dead. And we think, oh, Lord, it's dead. Do something with us, Lord. I'm nothing. And then when that happens, He gets back in the front. And we're in the background. We're like, glory to God. Woo! Boy, God's blessing. Hey, man, I must be something. About that time, He moves back in the back. We're in the front. And your Christian life is constantly doing that. Your flesh wants glory. Your flesh wants to think you're something. The Bible said we're nothing. Listen to this. We're not creators. We're not creators. We're the creation. We are but zeros in the great world of spiritual mathematics. A zero is nothing. Zero is nothing. Now I want to show you what a zero is tonight. And this is a little zero here. Looks a little striped, but that's because the magic marker was wearing out. And this little zero is what you are and what I am. You know what you are? You are nothing. Now, the only time a zero is any good, only time, a zero by itself is nothing. The only time a zero is any good is when it's behind a number. Not in front of a number, behind a number. Now, the way this thing works is, it goes like this. Now, we all know the Lord Jesus Christ is something. He is a one. He is the one. He's number one. So, tonight, we know that the Lord is something. Now, tonight, let's say you have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's great. He's wonderful. He's tremendous in a school. And in a school or a work where you work or in a place of business or wherever, the Lord is there. The Lord's everywhere. If you work uptown, if you work up at Baxter Laboratory, East Marion or wherever, the Lord's there. But a lot of times people don't recognize He's there. Now, if you take one of these zeros, which is me and you, and you put the Lord first and zero second, you see what that thing done? A zero in front of a number increases the value of that number tenfold. So the presence of the Lord is 10 times greater in a place with just one little zero being there to speak up for it, like me or like you. Amen. Now, I'll tell you something that blows your mind. One zero in behind a number, not in front of it, behind it. One zero behind a number increases that number 10 times. Another zero in front of that number. Amen. I'm telling you what it means. It means it increases that 10 times. That means this. According to spiritual mathematics, two little zeros standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ together in a public school or a place of business can increase the presence of the Lord 100 times. Glory to God. Think about that. Hey, listen, brother, with just a bunch of heathen out here, the Lord's presence is there. But if two people carry their Bibles in there and say, bless God, we're going to pray and we're going to have lay some tracts on the table, the increase of the Lord's presence is 100-fold. That's why our bus workers go out by 2. It's 10 times more powerful than 1. 10 times. That's why the Lord sent the disciples out by 1. Now look at this. Let me show you what happens in Christianity today. What's going on in Christianity today is we are big shots and we get ahead of the Lord. Now when a zero gets in front of the number, it decreases the value of the number. And 0.01, I reckon that's 1/100th, right? Because you have to have 99 of them. Like 0.025, what's 0.025? 1/4. What's 0.050? 1/2. So what's 0.01? We got an argument here. No, 0.01 is a tenth, right? 0.010 is 10. 0.010. It makes it less. This ain't a math. Bless God, I'm preaching. 0.01, that's 1/100th, I think. All right. Amen. Preach it, brother. Amen. Now, I want to tell you something. If you put another zero in front of that, that's like 1/1000th, right? Two big shots up singing with their shirt unbuttoned and a bunch of, they said, oh, we're here for the Lord, decreases the presence of the Lord by 999%. Or something or another like that. I tell you one thing, it hides the Lord and shows off the flesh. When Dolly comes down and says, He's alive! He's alive! The Lord's hid. She's seen, brother. Is she ever seen? Now what that does, brother, when a person realizes, when a person thinks, I'm something, that puts the Lord way back yonder somewhere. And then when grandma stands up and tears run down her face and says, I know I can't sing, but just praise God. Boy, the Lord's up here and the zero's in front of it and then His presence is 10 times more. You don't want to get in front of the Lord. You don't want to get in front of the Lord. He's first. Oh, by the way, what's the Bible say? Without Him, we are nothing. Without Him, we're nothing. You let Him be first, you be second, God can bless you. Now, I thank God every time I've ever been revival. The revival we was in Kentucky this year and all that is a blessing. But you know some of those services, some of those where we'd go all day long? You remember, brother, when we went up there to Louisville and we'd drive all morning, have service up there, drive all evening. When I got back to Allendale, I was so sleepy I couldn't even study. And I get down there and say, oh, God, you're going to have to help me. Lord, I can't do nothing. I ain't nothing. Well, I'd get up that night and God just all over the place. Then you get to think, well, I am the great so-and-so. That's why education is so dangerous. I didn't say education is wrong.
So I didn't say education was wrong. A lot of times when people get education, they start depending on education instead of the Lord, and then they get to be first and He has to be second and His presence is gone. We have got to realize that we are nothing. Nothing. God don't need me. God don't need you. You're not a big shot. I'm not a big shot. I am nothing but a nothing, brother. And whatever God's ever done with me, it is because I just emptied myself out somewhere and said, "All right, Lord, I'm nothing. Now use me if you want to. I'm a zero, but I want to stand behind you." When I stand behind Him, it makes Him something. This is bore out in the Scripture. On the day of Pentecost, 120 zeros lined up behind Jesus Christ and shook the city of Jerusalem. 120 zeros behind the Lord, son. How many is that? What's one with 120 zeros behind it? That's right, a heap. There's a heap of them. There's a mess of them, man. That's a bunch, I can tell you that, brother. What did John the Baptist say in John 3:30? He must increase. John had a chance to be a big shot if he wanted to. There's a lot of people thought he was a Messiah. He could have temporarily claimed that title if he'd wanted to. But John said, "No," he said, "there comes one after me which preferred before me." See? He said, "The man that's coming after me, he's got to be in front. I got to be after him. Because without him, I'm nothing. But with him, I'm just come to point to him." Everything we ought to do is to point to the Lord. I tell you, John enhanced the value of the Lord Jesus Christ because he stood in the background and said, "He must increase and I must decrease." You know what our problem is? We want to be something. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the great doctor so-and-so. Yes, isn't he wonderful? No, he's nothing. He's nothing but a nothing. God uses nothings. And if God uses Dr. So-and-so, it's not because he's Dr. So-and-so. It's because Dr. So-and-so realizes that he ain't nothing but a nothing, and he just empties himself out, and then God uses him. Our problem is we get in the Lord's way. We get in front of him. We get in front of him. He who wants to be something for God, listen, boys, he who wants to be something for God must cease to live for himself. When a preacher gets up and really gets plugged in, what he has done, he just give himself over the Lord. And he's saying, "Lord, I don't care how stupid I look. I don't care what people think about me. Lord, I'm not trying to impress nobody. God, I'm not trying here to be a show. Lord, just whatever you want to do with me." And you look, when a man gets like that, God starts using him. God starts using him. All right. A few things I want to show you in the Bible. Look how the Scripture bears this truth out. Get your Bibles now. We are nothing of goodness. You don't get the gift of grace until you come to the cross with nothing in your hand. "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." If a man comes up here in the morning and says, "Lord, I've got all this good stuff I'll offer you. If you'll save me," he don't get saved, does he? You know when your man gets saved? When he comes with nothing. You are a nothing. The night you got saved, you said, "I'm nothing. I have nothing. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling." And you don't have to turn to this one. I'll give you some in a minute. Luke 7:42 said they had nothing. All right? Luke 15. Let's look at Luke 15. One of your greatest stories in the Word of God of a man repenting and coming back to the Lord, or however you look at it, the story of the prodigal son. Luke chapter number 15. And Luke chapter number 15, look at verse 14, where the prodigal son was down there, and he didn't need the father, and nothing didn't happen good about the father, and the father didn't come and embrace him until something happened. "Thou shalt be blessed there if you'll just listen." Luke 15, he said this in verse 14, and when he had spent all. See that? That boy didn't get no help until he spent all. All. He was broke. He had nothing. He didn't even come back to God until he realized that everything that he had, all of his resources, were gone. You've got to get to the place where you realize that you are nothing. You are not a big shot. You know what's wrong with some people? Somebody bragged on them and it went to their head. Somebody said, "Oh, you're so pretty. Or you can do this so well." And they get thin. I'm something. I'm really something. They probably look at themselves in the mirror. do whatever they do to their eyes, and work on their eyelashes and do this and do that. And then I seen somebody, I believe it was in the airport yesterday. This girl was walking through the airport, and I noticed she kind of looked kind of funny. Man, she had on something, I don't know what it was, but it was mashing her. And it looked like she was miserable, man. It looked like you took your belt, went, sucked in real, and pulled up about four knots too big and tightened it, just like mashed her in, trying to look skinny. And you know what people's problem is? They think they're something. They think they're something. Well, you're not. You're not. You're nothing of goodness. We are nothing of strength. The virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ flowed out to people who realized that they were nothing and could not help themselves. The Lord said, they that are whole need not the physician, right? He said, somebody, it's all right there. Ain't nothing I can do for them. I'm looking for people who realize they need me. I'm looking for people who realize they need. That's why all these people out here think they don't need the Lord. The Lord can't never help them. You've got to understand that without Him, you're nothing. And that's when He'll help you. Bible said in Mark 5:25, when that woman who had the disease there, when she had spent all, that's when the Lord stepped in. Not while she was still going from one doctor to the other. When she ran out of resources, that's when the Lord stepped in her circumstance. I'm here to tell you, I don't mean to sound like one of these modern day counselor preachers, but that's true. You say, well, I believe I can do this and things work out. I believe I can do this and things work out. I believe I can do this and things work out. You know when things work out? When you realize that there's nothing you can do to work it out. When you realize that I'm nothing, oh God, they're like Jimmy's testimony up here a while ago. Listen, they probably tried a lot of other things before he got out, but brother, when that little girl wound up in the hospital, they realize that, hey, we don't have nothing, we can't do this. God, you're going to have to do this. God, hey, God has done you a favor if He's let you come to the point in your life where you realize that you're nothing and it's out of control and you have to have God to help you. Well, it's a wonderful feeling to think that God has got you to the place where you realize that you can't do it, that you're nothing, and then He just does it through you. That's a blessing. You just stay out of His way, man. Just stay out of His way and witness and serve Him. The impotent man said in John 5, they said, well, you've been laying here all these years. And he said, I haven't, no man. You got this? The prodigal son spent all. The woman that had the issue of blood spent all. The impotent man beside the pool 38 years said, I have nobody to help me. That's the ones the Lord seems like He always steps in and helps. When you realize there's nothing, no way out. When you realize, man, I tell you, there's no way out of this. There He comes. There He comes. He's a humble man of God and knows his powerlessness, and God can use him. Somebody said, oh, to be nothing, painful the humbling may be, yet low in the dust I'd lay me, that the world my Savior might see. If we could just say, Lord, I'll lay in the dust if that's what it takes. I heard a preacher say something one time, and it's haunted me for years. But it's true. He said this. He said, everywhere I go, people say, buddy, I'd like to really be something for God. He said, I want to ask you something tonight. Are you willing to be nothing for God? Ain't many people willing to be nothing for God. It's hard to be a nothing for God than it is to be a something for God. Because if you're something for God, people take up offerings for you, pat you on the back. You might, everybody brag, oh, isn't he the great preacher? No, boy, if you're just a nothing for God and nobody knows you, man, you wait till the judgment day comes and the Lord pulls out some of these nothing nobody's ever heard of. I bet you these people sitting in little old cabins up in these mountains somewhere, maybe a grandma in a wheelchair, and you don't know her name and I don't know her name, and she don't even get to go to church regular. But she's sitting there about 8-10 hours a day saying, oh Lord, help these preachers. Oh Lord, bless these churches. God bless these teenagers. There ain't no telling what the Lord's doing through some of them old people like that sitting in wheelchairs that mean you don't know nothing about. Man, I tell you what, I get so sick and tired of everywhere I go, and don't take this wrong, but the music program in most churches I go to about make you throw up. I'm just about that close to just getting up and telling them they ought to throw them soundtracks in the trash can. And we sell them in the bookstore. But I tell you what, I'm not saying they're all bad, really. I'm not, and I'm not saying there's not a person. Once in a while, if it's a good thing. But man, I go into churches, and you know, here I am trying to get ready to preach, and they say, now so-and-so's going to come to sing, and it goes, Jesus on the main line. Tell what you want. I'm thinking, Lord have mercy, man, what are we doing here? I'm like, this ain't church. One guy got on there and he's saying, clap your hands. Let's have church. Clap your hands. Let's have church. You know, and everybody starts dancing like that. And I'm thinking, great day, man. I have to pray the devil out of here before I can get up there and preach. One said, Moses, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Moses, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Take your shoes off. And that's the way it's going. Except it's about 50 times worse than that. Like an old guy on the radio. You know, it really don't sound that bad in radio. But man, when you get in church, well, the devil is a liar, you know. The truth he cannot tell. And when he comes to me, just send him back to hell. That's crazy. That's crazy talk like that is. I heard one that's saying, well, look out, devil. Look out for me, devil. I mean, man, I think you nuts. You better watch what you're saying. Look out for me, devil. The devil will knock you off with a flip of his finger. You know what you are? You're a nothing. You are a nothing. Buddy, I tell you, we're nothing in strength. You better learn to depend on the Lord. We're nothing in resources. And like I said, I'm not against all soundtracks, just about three-fourths of them. You know, we have some here that are good, and I enjoy them. Really, I do. But, man, I tell you what, some of them nowadays, it's pitiful. Nothing in resources. God uses nothing. What does the Bible say? I can of mine own self, John said, do nothing. You'd be surprised, get your concordance down, see how many times this word in the Bible. Luke chapter 11, let's look at it. You'll see where a miracle takes place? Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 said this. You know when the Lord's going to help you? Luke chapter 11 verse 6. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to sit before him. John chapter 2. Flip on over to your right just a little bit. The first miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ here at the wedding of Cana in Galilee. John chapter 2 and verse number 3. Bible said here in John 2 and verse 3, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. They didn't say nothing to him till the wine run out. See, as long as we got plenty of stuff, we seem to forget about the Lord. But then here come his mom and said, they have no wine. And that's when he stepped in and out. That might be why the Lord don't do a whole lot for us anymore. We got so much stuff, man. It don't leave him a whole lot of room to work in our life. Bible said one time, he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. All our material things, really, they really helped us spiritually when you really won't think about it. That's why money, man. Did you know money? Money is one of the worst things that ever happened to you. You get a bunch of money. I'm telling you, man. Money's bad for you. Money's bad for you. Brother, I'll tell you what money does. Money blinds your eyes, man. Bible said money, riches make themselves weak. You watch a person when they get a lot, the more money they get, usually, the less spiritual they are. And I mean, we all got to make a living. You got to pay your bills, and that should be done. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you, you got to watch money. Well, that's why the old-time preacher said this. And that got a hold of me lately, and I've been, of course, Larry Burkett would have a heart attack if he knew how I handle my finances. When I get my money, I spend it. I pay my bills. If I want to buy my girl something or my wife something, I do that. And I want to give somebody, I give them some. You know why? Because that stuff will get in your heart. I ain't even got a savings account. I save some every now and then when I see something I need, we buy it. We need something for the house, need something to that, I spend it. Well, one of the old preachers said this. He said, when I get some money, he said, I get rid of it as quickly as possible, lest it find a way into my heart. Them old preachers are scared of it. Scared of it. You say, Brother Dandy, I'm going to save up a bunch. I'm going to get me $150,000 in the bank, and I'm going to do that. Well, I mean, I'm not saying that's a sin. Some of the men in the Bible was rich. If you can stay right with God and do it, hallelujah, more power to you. But I'll tell you how you can be happier. You just use it for God. Use it for God. Man. Just use it for God. We're nothing in resources. Let me show you what God done with these boys. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Old boy laying there couldn't help himself, laying there at the gate, crippled, and he wanted some help. Verse 6, Peter said, silver and gold have I none. He said, I ain't none. He said, I ain't some money. Peter said, I ain't got no money, but I got something else. I'd rather have that something else than that money. He said, I ain't got no money, but such as I have, give I thee. Man, when Jesus get up and walk. Some old modern day preacher said, right up and said, well, we have so many resources now, and the church has money in the bank, and the church says stained glass window. No longer do we have to say silver and gold have I none. And an old preacher stood up and said, yeah, that's right. No longer can we say rise up and walk. Brother, we realize we're nothing. We're nothing. You know what the danger of God blessing us like He has? You get to think we're something. We ain't nothing. We're the same little old bunch that met up here in the log cabin on that first Sunday morning in 1977. We're the same old thing. We ain't no. People say, well, old brother Danny's got dignity. No, he ain't neither. I believe I'm worse now than I was back then. As far as having manners or anything, I at least tried to then. I don't even try. I tell you what, brother, listen. I realize that I'm just the same old dog or worse than I was back then. I am nothing. As a matter of fact, God can't even use you to realize you're nothing. When I first started preaching, I thought, boy, I might be something for God. You know what the Lord did? He knocked me off my high horse, buddy. And He's got ways of doing it, too. And I realize, God, I'm just a nothing. I'm just a nothing. We're nothing in resources. 2 Kings. Let's go back in the Old Testament and look at one. I usually don't have you to turn a lot of scripture, but I'd like for you to see these and maybe mark them if you'd like to. 2 Kings chapter 4. While you're turning there, Matthew 15:32 said, they came out there in that big crowd of people with the 4,000, 5,000, and it said, they have nothing to eat. And the Lord stepped up and supplied the need. Nothing to eat. 2 Kings 4, look at this. Look at verse 3. See, in verse number 2, Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything. My soul. He said, what you got in the house? She said, I ain't got nothing. I don't have anything save a pot of oil. And then he said in verse 3, then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even what? Empty vessels. He didn't say, go down here and see if your neighbors will let you borrow some with some food in it. He said, go down there and get some empty vessels. When the Lord wants to show His power, what He looks for is an empty vessel. Somebody says, I ain't nothing. Have you noticed how God, read the book of 1 Corinthians, it talks about how God uses the things that are not, that are not to bring things, not things that are. And He uses nothing, a base thing, things that are nothing. I'm trying to think three sentences ahead of where my mouth is, and it ain't working. But you know what God does? You know what God does? He does a lot of things. He'll take something that's nothing and fill it up and use it and walk right past a person that's something. Well, I have a great voice. Can I be used for God? Well, I don't know. You might can if you'd realize you're nothing. You know when God blesses these kids when they sing? He blesses them when they get to the point where they realize they're nothing and He's just flowing. That's when He blesses the youth choir. Let me tell you, youth choir, something. If you get to thinking you're something, well, we're spiritual, we're the greatest youth choir, that's when God will quit blessing you. He quits just like that because you get over here, see? When you get up and sing and you're over here and the Lord's here, you've decreased the presence of the Lord in the service about 99%. When you get up and sing in church, you make sure He's here and you're here. And you increase His presence in the service. All right? We are nothing in success. Listen to this story. It's not the lazy workers who find the miraculous power of God. It was those men that had toiled all night and had taken nothing. That's when He showed up and helped them. They heard the word of authority to let down the nets of their vain efforts. They've been out here working all night long. And the Lord came up and said, "Hey children, have you any meat?" And they said, "Man, we've been doing this all night long, Lord, and we don't have nothing." And then he said, "Let down your nets." And if they had had some fish, he'd have said, "Got anything to eat?" And they'd have said, "Yeah, we got a little bit. We don't need you." They said, "Lord, we've done this all night long. We ain't got nothing." Notice they wasn't sitting around playing cards all night. They was trying to catch fish. See, it's not like you just sat around and do nothing and you're worth a dime, and then the Lord comes up and works a miracle for you. You're doing your best. And you're doing the best you can, and you still ain't got nothing done. That's when He'll move in and do something. I've seen that happen so many times. It's pitiful. I have prayed. I wish I'd just give anything if all y'all could experience what I'm getting ready to tell you. I've prayed before, and it seemed like my mind's going to pop. It seems like I didn't have nothing to preach. It seems like I feel like I'm backslid. I think, God, I can't go out there and preach like this. God, I'm just nothing. I'm nothing. Oh, God, I just can't.